Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. This episode, we're going to be talking about Clicky Land, Senua's Sega Hellblade 2, Alba, A Wildlife Adventure. I got to be honest, guys, we're barely here right now. My name is Christian.
My name is Rianne.
They're sharing a microphone, and my microphone died. And I'm on my headset mic. Yeah, we're barely here. Like, it's all duct tape and tie wire holding all of this together. Nick is gone. Yeah. Bobby's on sabbatical. I don't know what's going on, but we're going to try to deliver a delicious show to you guys.
We literally, this is going to be a wild fucking ride. We're like the Wright brothers, but all we have is like duct tape and like a couple twigs, and we're just jumping off the cliff. It's like kind of bad.
Christian and Rihanna are wearing one giant sweater for some reason. Go ahead and check out our YouTube if you want to see how that's working. Mechanically, I don't even know how it works, but I can see it. It's definitely there.
Yeah.
Conjoined twins. They have to have like really specialized. Anyways, that's a bird walk. Rianne, were you going to give a plug to us?
Yes, I'm telling people to listen to the podcast. So you're probably already listening, but if you're not, you should. And I guess join the Discord as well.
Okay.
How would they do that, Rianne?
Go on Discord, and I'm guessing you would probably search DLG Gaming. And then it should be there.
It should be there.
And then you can be welcomed, and you can share your thoughts to... I don't know, a number of people. I don't know how many people listen to this podcast.
At least a dozen. At least 12, if not 13. Okay. Yeah. That was a great plug. I'm crying. Okay. Emilio, any thoughts on that plug before we dive right into it?
Excellent. Top notch. Five stars. Top notch. Yeah.
Five stars.
A Canadian 12. I don't know what that means.
Worth a ping. So we're just noting something interesting. I saw on Twitter today that Deep Rock Galactic has hit an all-time peak of 51,000 people concurrently playing on Steam. And our good friend, who we interviewed a long, long time ago, the CEO of Ghost Ship Games, is celebrating because, what does he say? It's now more than 6 years since we released this niche dwarf mining game, and it has the highest amount of players that it's ever had, you know? So Deep Rock Galactic continually hitting it out of the park, such a unique, awesome game. And yeah, I thought that was worth noting. Emilio, what do you got?
Well, I want to comment on that a little bit. Just, what an interesting and crazy business model. You just make one thing really good and people buy it for years and years and years, and you don't buy it. Do they have paid DLC? I know they have a couple things, but not...
Oh, they have that supporter pack you always make fun of Bobby for.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Rianne, the reason I make fun of Bobby on the supporter pack is literally just to give the developers money because they have such a good product and they never charge people. No upselling here. It's just keeps right. getting better throughout the year. He waited for it to be on sale before he bought the supporter pack, which just seems so weird to me. It's like,
he only wants to half support.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't always support, but when I do, it's not full support.
Yeah. Somehow I feel like I would do the same thing as just to stick to the budget.
Yeah, stick to the budget. Yeah.
My ping today is Scavenger's Reign. It's my newest highly recommended show to everybody. It's on Netflix right now. So it started on HBO Max. It's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's 8.9 on IMDb. It's incredible. It's so good. But there's only one season. And so HBO canceled it. Netflix picked it up. And they're only going to do a season two if enough people watch it. So this is me giving half support for Scavenger's Reign. I go out there and watch it. It's the only way I can kind of describe it is it's like the craziness of Rick and Morty, like the scientific craziness of Rick and Morty without the humor. It's more serious. It's more of like a drama, but it is so trippy. We were, after episode three, Sam and I were like, this should be called What the Fuck Is That instead of Scavenger's Reign. Cause you're the creatures. Somebody is so imaginative. It's incredible. Such a good show. So highly recommend.
I would I would be, yeah, I see everyone recommending this. It reminds me of that game, like just the style of it, Sable or Sable. Mm. You remember that one? Mm-hmm. Super stylized indie where you explore, but you're saying it's a lot deeper than, you know, it's more like a Black Mirror maybe, like fuck you, fucks with you.
You got to watch it. It's like anything I've seen. I mean, game, if you were going to say a game, it's kind of like Risk of Rain more than anything else. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, but anyway, cool. Yeah, you guys, 30-minute episodes.
It looks kind of like Studio Ghibli-ish to me.
It does. And you animation. Know what? The first episode, like maybe 10 seconds in, Sam and I were like, oh, this doesn't look good. But then 45 seconds in, we were like, oh, there might be something here.
That's a real quick. Was that a couple glances? You're like, eh.
Because I wasn't too into the art, you know? Ghibli's right, fine, yeah. Better than this. I don't know. It's, I don't know. Watch it.
Okay.
Don't let cool. the art initially turn you off.
Okay. Rianne, what are you pinging this week?
Well, I just recently have been playing my Switch again. I don't usually play my Switch because the games are way more expensive than they are on PC. But because we're moving our office into another room right now, my computer is now in another room with no internet, so I can't use it. So I've been using my Switch and comparing prices because, so Unpacking is a game. I don't know how many people who listen to this have heard of it, but just a cozy game. You unpack your house as you move throughout your childhood bedroom up until you're an adult. It's really nice, satisfying game. And it is surprisingly cheaper on the Switch right now than it is on PC, which doesn't usually happen. So,
yeah, Sam was going. Sam was going through the Nintendo store. They're on sale. Nintendo's having a huge sale, and she was going down the list. She's like, "Oh man, there's some really good deals right now." I find it ironic that you were playing Unpacking because you are currently unpacking your room, but you're moving stuff, and then that led to this. That's funny. Yeah. Why not get a long cord and just run it temporarily to that room? Or is it not set up at all?
No, it's set up. We have a long cord, but, you know, I don't know.
I think that when Christian moves his office to the room as well, that should only be in a few weeks, so I can survive.
Is this going to be the nursery here?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, we have a crib behind us. Not sure if you can
see.
Coming together. Yeah. The light is weird, but yeah. It's all happening. Got some paint on the wall for some new colors that we're testing out. So anyways, we're moving on to highlights. So this is games we have been playing. And last week I talked about a game called Clicky Land, which is like this roguelite wave survival with cute graphics, tower defense, except clicks are the limiting resource. So you get 20 clicks a day. And how you manage that, those clicks are very important. But there's click factories and click storage. So you're constantly trying to increase your clicks. And then if you zoom into the map, your workers are like click cursors and they just go around and like hit trees, which is very funny. And I don't know why I wrote this. Is this a slur? Leggers? Does anyone know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I guess it's no. I think it's probably within their universe, I'm thinking. Somebody that does the dirty work, a legger? I don't know.
Oh, it's because I was watching. Oh, this is a terrible segue, but I was watching this show on Amazon. I can't remember. I should have wrote it down. But basically, there's these fairy beings, and it takes place in like an industrial.
It's Carnival Row.
Oh, Carnival Row. I don't know. Yeah, this like industrial colonial society where basically humans have colonized these other creatures like centaurs and fauns and fays. And the fays with the wings call everyone who walks leggers.
Mm.
And I was like, that's such a unique slur. I love unique slurs in fantasy. And then my brain, which was, I guess, broken at the time when I wrote these show notes, thought clickers. Is clickers a slur for my workers? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, they do all the work and they do it without thinking. Yeah. Okay, fuck those clickers.
Yeah, fuck those. Yeah, it's a little, yeah, it feels a little slurry. I don't know. The gameplay was fun, but the best part about this game was that the time limit. So it ends at day 100. And when you reached it, or when I reached it, the game is over. And I put a bow on it and I was like, oh, I saw all there was to see. in around maybe 10 or 11 hours. And I guess in an era where there's all these games that never fucking end and there's never enough time to finish a game, this was just so satisfying. I pay six bucks for the game. I play it for 12 hours. It's done. You know, there's just something really nice about that kind of finality in a game that could easily not have been like that. They could have put unlimited levels. There's some roguelike mechanics. When you lose, you unlock new stuff from the shop. They could have filled that shop up with fucking everything that you see in a lot of other roguelikes and really got you to spend a lot of time on it. But they decided not to, and I just feel like that's kind of cool.
Nice. Now that I have you here, Ree, what do you think of his incredible fascination with like cities and being like a god character over,
oh,
you know,
yeah, interesting.
Like it's this is his jam, you know. It's always about controlling little people. Does he try to control you? Is he playing the Sims in your household?
We could unlock something here. I don't know. Yeah. I think if he could play City Builder, not with our household, I don't think that's too small scale for him, but he would do a City Builder of the city we live in. If he could just hover over top and just change everything about the city, he definitely would. And I think he dreams about it probably daily.
It's crazy, man. I mean, it's cool. I like it. We need all kinds. We need all kinds.
Yeah. All right, Emilio, what are you talking about?
Really quick. I was watching, I don't know, Wild Hit. I was making fun of Us last night. The kids went to bed, and then I started watching Disney stuff. But like, ooh, let's watch the fucking dark Disney. But we were just watching the how Disney World was created. And what the whole thing about it. Anyway, there's some really cool stuff. And Epcot Center was supposed to be an evolving, never finished city of tomorrow where people were going to actually work and live. That was Walt Disney's original plan. Like, people were going to live and work there and just be a future city. But they were going to knock it down and remake and constantly like be ahead of wherever common construction is. But after he died, they totally did a 180 and turned it into a theme park, which kind of sucks. Yeah, I really thought of like what it could have been, you know, and then you would have just lost your shit there, dude. Speaking of which, one of the things that they're planning to do, it's a ride slash it's more like an experience. One of the hotels that they're going to have there is a rebel starship. The whole thing, like, you live aboard it while it's a 2-day experience with a storyline.
Oh, dude,
that's your hotel.
I think you might have got this a bit twisted, and you let me know, because they already have Star Wars Galactic Cruiser, which is already a hotel taking place on a galactic cruiser in the Star Wars universe. So you're like a tourist in the Star Wars universe, and they give you like clothes to wear while you're there. You can go to everywhere aboard the ship, and then the First Order boards your ship to like check to see if you're like, if there's any rebel activity aboard this cruiser. And you can choose your storyline if you're an Imperial, a smuggler, or a rebel. And depending on the story you choose when you sign up to go through this, will affect like what actors come up to you and like how they interact with you.
How awesome is that, dude?
That's so cool.
But it's shutting down the day after my birthday. They've been running it for, I think, 2 years, and it shuts down September 28th because apparently it wasn't making any money. And to go to that,
so expensive.
For the 2 days, $4,800 for the lowest tier package.
Yeah, so. That's too bad. Yeah. They got to make something out of that. You know, it's a lot of work that they put into the physical part of it. Paying actors to do something for 2 days is tough or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm going to keep talking about the only game that I've been playing. I've been playing some stuff on my Steam Deck at work, but not enough to talk about. I did play another couple of hours of Senua's Saga Hellblade 2, and this is probably going to be my game of the year. This is, it puts me in such a weird spot. Like, I was playing at night in the dark, and there's like this 3-hour segment where you go deep into the earth, like, you know, hundreds of feet down into the earth, because you're looking for these like lost beings that are down there. And of course, there's also enemies and puzzles, and these last beings are trying to like test you to see if you're worthy to meet them at all.
So many sphincters, dude. Sorry, I'm just watching the trailer. Is there a lot of sphincters in this?
There are sphincters. They're fractal. Okay. If you notice, it's like a, yeah, it's a fractal thing. You got to break the sphincter, dude, and get in there.
Okay.
But it's very claustrophobic. Like, you're in this cave for so long and you're just waiting for the light. You're like, fuck, I've been in this cave for 3 fucking hours. And it's getting claustrophobic. Like, you get these really tight spaces. The combat is scripted events, but they make it seem dynamic. They make it look... They attack you at your weakest moments. You know those crawl spaces where every game has it, like or modern games, where you're crawling through an area and that's how they're secretly loading the next area so it looks like it's all one thing. A fucking zombie grabbed my arm and pulled me out of it while I was doing that. And because I could hear the footsteps coming up.
Yeah.
Because the footsteps are always behind you and it's awful. The best sound design of any game ever. And they're skittering around you. You know, like fucking scary shit. And I was like, oh, I made it to the crawl space. And so I'm crawling through there and I got yanked out of it. And it was just like, they kept attacking me at my weakest points, like when I'm about to go over a cliff or stuff like that. And I just thought it was like so inventive, so much better than just attacking out in the open, which why would you? You know, if you can see in the dark and this thing that you're following doesn't, like, of course, attack them at the weak points. Yeah, and so I'm enjoying it immensely. And I thought about recording some of it, but it's kind of like a personal thing, dude. It's just me and my headphones in the dark. I'm just zoned in, and I think it would just kind of take away from it if I was like thinking of anything else. It's fucking super dope. Super dope.
Yeah. Every time this is a game I feel like I need to experience, just because when you talk about it, I don't really have a good idea. I don't really have a good idea of how it will make me feel.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, you're playing it in the dark, you're looking around, you say everywhere you look gets worse, you're being constantly followed. It's all about like hallucinations in your head. It seems like a little bit of a, you know, cerebral journey, but it's like a AAA game that a lot of people play. It's just, I don't know. Yeah.
I can't even say if it's rewarding for sure, but it's making it's at least not yet, or I don't even know if it ever will be. Like, was this cave, was it worth it? Was this enjoyable? I was feeling all kinds of emotions, but was it enjoyable? It's kind of like torture, honestly.
Yeah.
But here I go. I'm still playing it, and I'm, you know, the kudos I'm giving it is because it's making me feel like no other game has it made me feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Rianne, if you don't know what I'm talking about, this it's like it's this woman who's kind of like a witch doctor or something like that. Somebody that like an early village would go and burn for being a witch, you know, because she hears voices in her head. And you hear the voices and they're constantly talking to you. They're either doubting you can't, she can't do it. She can't do it. She can't. No, she can't. And stuff like that. She's stupid. She's being stupid. And you're trying to play a game in the dark with fucking skittering around you. Okay, I'm exhausted. All right, keep going.
Anxiety. Send you a Sega anxiety too. All right.
Yeah, that sounds like, at first you were describing it, it sounds like just a scary game in terms of people jumping out at you and attacking you from behind. But the voices seem a little bit more, I don't know if scary is the right word, just maybe you want to make sure you're feeling mentally well before you play it.
Yeah.
Schizophrenia simulator or something.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, what are you talking about this week?
Okay, well, I played or am playing Alba, which is a wildlife adventure game, which you can get... of course, on Steam on PC, but I've been playing it on my Switch. I think it is a really nice Switch game. It feels good to be a like portable handheld game, which I guess you could do if you have a Steam Deck as well. But it's a nice, cute little game. It is about a little girl. You're playing as a little girl visiting your grandparents on an island. And the plot is that there's these developers coming to the island who want to build a hotel on top of the nature reserve that's been like sitting around and kind of not well maintained for a few years. So they're trying to get more tourism on their island by building this hotel. And so your job is to restore the nature reserve and to collect signatures for a petition to not have the hotel built and to keep up the nature reserve. So it's cool because you get a little phone and you get to walk around the island and you explore looking for all these different animals, primarily birds, but different animals. And then you get to identify them and it gives you a little description of the bird or animal you discovered. It's pretty cute.
Are you learning? I mean, is it enough information to learn a little bit? Is it like a fun fact about that creature?
I wouldn't say I'm learning too much, apart from I don't know much bird species at all. So if I was really paying attention, I could learn a good number of bird species. I think there's only about 50, though, that you collect throughout the island.
Why are you collecting the pictures of the birds? Does that do anything for the gameplay, or is that just kind of like a side thing that is optional?
It does for the gameplay, because you need to identify all these different animals, and then you need to create little like information boards about them to put up in the nature reserve.
Oh, okay. So when you're walking around, people are like, oh, that's a blackhorn stonebill.
Yeah. I've learned that a lot of birds look the same, but are not the same.
Wow, cool.
97%. She's not fucking around, guys. 97% with 4,500 reviews. That's very highly reviewed.
Yeah, that's why I got it. Really highly reviewed game. My only, I guess, qualm with it is it's really short and kind of expensive, especially on the Switch. So I probably wouldn't buy it unless it was on sale, which I did get it on sale, so that's good. But yeah, I slowed down. I haven't finished it yet because I knew I was about to finish it. You could probably play the game in like 2 or 3 hours, though, if I'm being honest. But it's cute. It's
nice. 3 hours.
In the planned DLC, you play from the corporation's perspective, where you have to squash this little girl and all her
adventures.
That'll be hilarious.
Yeah,
that is super cute. Yeah. I'm actually thinking about it now for Mila or Sam. Sounds awesome.
Yeah, totally. It's something a kid could play, and they'd probably get more out of it in terms of learning about different birds. Yeah, pretty good.
I'll take your word for it. Sounds good. Cool. On the highlights are brought to you by our Discord and AbeJet65, who says, "Hello, friends. Playing some Diablo 4 today. If anyone wants to play or needs anything, let me know. Love this game." Okay. If anyone out there is still playing Diablo 4, you know, Abe65Jet, he needs some pals. So send him a message in Discord. You can join the Discord by heading to dlgaming.net. We're going to move on to On the Radar, so games that we haven't played but have caught our attention. And there was so many announcements this week. For work, I put together, I helped put together metrics of everything that went on. I wish I wrote them down, but it was something like 731 games were talked about this week, and there was 16 individual game showcases. So, like, there's no fucking time. So many games, so little time. There's so many games that even I want to play, you know, all these strategy and sim games were announced. So, Anno 117 Pax Romana is the newest Anno game. It's at the peak of the Roman Empire, so the largest it ever was. Trajan died in 117 and Hadrian took over, so maybe there'll be a little bit of mechanics of managing, you know, a new emperor and what that means for your city, because whenever there's a new emperor in the Roman Empire, that's a time to kind of seize local power and, you know, change up the dynamics that exist. So I'm excited about that. I think about the Roman Empire 3 to 5 times a week. And so that means now I'm thinking about this game all the time. It has me obviously wishlisted instantly. Empire of the Ants is a first-person ant strategy game, which is like you command your ants to like go forage or like build this tunnel. And that's basically my fantasy. Like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is like a maybe the future I would love for my life if I was an ant and like put in an ant colony, you know? They just work so hard. They do so much. And I have an alternate title for this game, Mountain Blade Anterlord, because like that's the perspective you have. In Bannerlord, you're commanding troops. In Empire of the Ants, you're commanding ants. And I just want to shop that by, see if, you know, if anyone at the Empire of the Ants wants a name change, I think Anterlord is a good thing. And Civilization 7 was announced. Barely anything about it. If you look at the Steam page, there's like two or three lines. There's one trailer, one screenshot. We don't know anything about it, Rianne. We don't know anything.
I know.
Civ 4 was my favorite Civ. Old World is my favorite Civ-like 4X. So I'm hoping that they return to like what the game used to kind of feel like and play like. Civ 6 was a little too complex, in my opinion, for a Civ. There's so much going on in Civ, and so many additions and DLC. You had to worry about the temperature of the planet at the same time as forming the United Nations, at the same time as managing all your little districts. The end game kind of felt a little bit like a slog to me. So, yeah, back to form. Hopefully Civ 4 is a little bit more simple. And those are the three games that I'm most excited about, Emilio. Do they excite you in the same way as they excite me?
No, I was doing my taxes while you were speaking. So
okay, perfect. Yeah, at least you're being productive. That's good.
No, actually, somebody sent me a game this week, and I want to thank him, and I can't find where or who or nothing.
Wow, dude, you just accepted the game.
I know.
Write anything down.
I know.
That's how you treat. Wow.
I know.
You know, I'm not surprised. I gotta say, not surprised.
Where? Yeah, I don't know. It was somebody. Thank you so much. And it's not a cheap game. You got me Lego Brick Tales, which I can't wait to play. So thank you very much, dude. And I will find your name someday. It's not in the email. It's not in Steam. I don't know. I'm also old and what did Nick call me when he was over here and I couldn't do something on the TV and he's like, "You're such a fossil." I was like, "Yeah."
Okay, Rand, what's on your radar? What are you thinking about?
Okay, well, first, I just wanted to say about Civ 7. My hope for Civ 7 is that if we were to play together on multiplayer, that they would find a way to make each player's turns a little bit more equal, because I really enjoyed playing Civ, and I thought it was Civ 5 that we played.
We mostly played a lot of Civ 5 together.
Civ 5. Yeah. Civ 6 I didn't like as much, and the reason was because, yeah, as you progress in the game, there's so much you need to manage, and I found that, for me, I just wanted to take things simple. I'm not starting wars, I'm just chilling, like, trying to grow my empire, and like build monuments.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're fighting like three wars. So your turns take like 30 minutes and mine take like
I'm really bumming out the experience, basically.
So if they could find a way to make that a little more equal.
Yeah.
Or maybe I just can't play with you. I don't know.
No. I totally know what you're saying because you could go so in depth in that game. Totally. Yeah. And Civ 5, we had so much fun playing it most of the time very high. Like most of the time, barely functioning, and we could get through a whole Civ game, no problem.
Yes.
You're reminding me. Okay, so my top post on Reddit is not my content at all, which is totally not a surprise. I'm pretty boring, but it's a text that Rianne has sent me, and I just want to read that. I got this out of the blue one day. I think I was like at work before I worked at home. She says, with a bunch of emojis, "Greece declared war on me. They destroyed my city. Sad emoji. They took over my empire. Skulls emoji. Blowing smoke out my nose emoji. But I fought back. Punch emoji. And I defeated. Workout emoji. And I conquered. Gold medal emoji. Trophy emoji. And Greece begged me for a peace deal. Peace emoji. And then the war was over. Sweat emoji. And then next turn, they asked me to trade my spices! Exclamation point. Question mark. Exclamation point. Question mark. Exclamation point. I was like, no! This emoji crossed in your front of your arms emoji. You, angry emoji, just angry emoji, tried angry emoji to angry emoji, kill angry emoji, me angry emoji. Why would I give you my spices spice emoji? Question mark.
Does and spice that emoji?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah.
This is it's like a pepper ago.
Or something. Yeah, this is a long time ago, but it's my most, it has like, 10,000 upvotes, everyone commenting on it. Why so many emojis? It's hilarious.
Yeah,
so.
The AIs were kind of ruthless, and then it didn't make sense. You're not going to end a war and then suddenly start trading spices. So maybe Civ 7 should
address the
address
AI.
That as well.
Well, Civ AI is famously not good, so maybe they will address it.
There's no like, they should allow for animosity, right? And like, and spite. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe go ahead. 5D chess, they sent you that to provoke a response. They were like, you know what would make this player really angry? If I then requested their spices for free.
Right.
After I tried to kill them.
Anyways, I'm looking forward to my next game I want to play. It's called Passing By, A Tailwind Journey. I did pick it up on Switch. I plan to start it after Alba. I'm kind of a completionist, so I will not start a game until I've finished another one, generally. I'm really excited to play that game. It says it's a survival puzzle platformer cozy game, which sounds like a lot, but I think it's everything I like.
A lot of stuff in the blender. Yeah.
It almost looks like the animation looks like it's made out of paper.
Paper,
or like
yeah.
paper. Yeah. It looks really cool. And you live on like, there's floating islands all throughout the skies. Mm. And you have like a floating ship. And you get to travel the skies trying to send a letter or something. I don't know exactly what the plot is, but you get to travel around the skies in this flying ship. If anyone's played Spiritfarer,
that's one of your favorite games, right?
Spiritfarer is like definitely, apart from Hades, probably my favorite game. And it gives me Spiritfarer vibes, except instead of you being on a boat, you are in the sky. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Cool. You know what I just realized? I married a completionist. That's so weird for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, so nice.
Yeah.
No, dude, like most gamers do not have the discipline to do that. What you just said is, because we all have this like ongoing joke about our backlog. We wouldn't have a backlog if we were completionists. Yeah, I mean, unless the game, if you find yourself not having fun, you'll just abandon the game, though, right? I imagine.
Yes. Yeah. That's fine. The problem I have with being a completionist is that I like to, if there's any game where you can like 3-star or something, I must like fully star every level before I move on to the next level. Yeah. And that's an issue, especially, so I've been playing Mahjong.
Oh, yeah. This is sad.
I've been playing Mahjong on the Switch for years. There's probably 1,000 levels, and you can 3-star every level. So I, years ago, 3-starred, I don't know, I must have played like 950 out of 1,000 levels, and they all had 3-stars. And then my Switch, I don't know what happened. It did an update or something, and it erased everything.
But that story doesn't stop there. No, keep going.
I'm sure.
About a year later, I picked it back up, and I 3-starred everything again. I probably got to level 600 that time, and then same thing, just restart. And it didn't save anything. And so then I was like, okay, I'm done. But I don't know, recently, I've been back on the Mahjong. I don't know.
Put down the Mahjong.
I can't stop.
Those fucking tiles, Mahjong tiles, talk to you.
Yeah, it's like a new level. If you're only playing the same level once every 3 years, you forget. So it's fine. So anyways, same thing. I've been playing for the last couple of months. I didn't get as far this time, probably 300 levels, and it's reset on me again. So I don't know what to do at this point.
I'd delete Mahjong, maybe, or keep it forever and just have it as the lovable thing that deletes your 3-star progress.
Switch that out for Balatro. I think you'll have a lot of fun with that.
What's
Although
Balatro?
Yeah. That's a dangerous question to ask, but I think you should ask it. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, what was I going to say last thing? Oh, I like that. Like one of your favorite tags is cozy. That's fucking sick. Like nobody's ever been like, I search by cozy first, you know?
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Sure, I do. And a lot of people do.
Yeah. Have you ever searched games like Spiritfarer? Or have,
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I play them all.
Awesome. And last thing, Hades 2, I know I've brought it up before. And did you even touch it knowing that you're going to come back at full release? Or have you looked at it?
No. I don't want to play until it's full release, just so I can get the full impact of it. I'm also going to be on maternity leave, so I figure, I mean, I know I'll be busy because I'll have a child, but I'm hoping I also have more time to game.
Yeah,
you will. So, I mean, at the beginning, they just sleep.
Yeah.
They sleep most, exactly. Like, a lot.
Yeah, so that's my plan, is to play it on maternity leave.
Awesome, perfect. That works out. Oh, is there a hard date for that, Christian? Didn't you exile the cats? Did we not exile the cats?
We tried to set a boundary, but the cats are also really loud when they're outside the door, so it's a bit of a juggle. Mm. There is a hard date on that, Emilio, but I think we're going to keep that a little closer to our chest for a little bit longer.
No, I'm talking about Hades, dude.
Oh, I thought you meant for the child to come into the world.
It's a PC gaming podcast, man.
Yeah, sorry. Eyes on the prize. My bad. No.
No.
I don't know. All right. I should say I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know either. I feel like I should know, but I don't know.
So since Bobby's gone, he never lets me do top five lists. I mean, I can do whatever I want, but he's always poo-pooing top five lists. Who would even care about a top? Why would they care what we care about? Like, we're all this shit.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to do a top five list. These are top five upcoming games for me on the DGL. Let me try that again. The top five upcoming games for me. So first we have number five, Behemoth, coming out of nowhere, is a Shadow of the Colossus type game, but it's in VR. And it looks like Skyrim graphics. And you have this grappling hook where you can pull things away from enemies and use those things. I saw the main character grab an arrow out of somebody's hand, bring it to himself, switch to his bow, and shoot that same arrow at him. That's what they call a backfire in the medieval combat days. Anyway, looks sick, because when you fight the bosses, it's behemoths, 200-foot Godzilla type things that you climb their bodies and you kill them. How awesome is that?
In VR. Awesome. Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Number four is kind of a shock for me. Dynasty Warriors. This has been around since PlayStation 2, maybe PlayStation 1. You know, they used to be like, we can have 50 units on the screen at once. Like, you know, that was the big thing.
The big selling point.
Yeah. The big selling point. But now I'm curious. I mean, I play the shit out of these games. You play as Chinese dynasty heroes, like warriors that became folklore. They were so famous. You know, we don't know them, but they're very famous to the Chinese, and you play as them. And it's cool because the better you do in these battles, the more people in the battle start following you, so you can get a little entourage around you and you clash into other entourages. It's fucking sick. And this was sick 15 years ago. So anyway, I'm just curious what they do with modern hardware, you know?
Right.
So it's more of a curiosity thing for me, but I think I will be playing that because the last one was very bad, I think. So I'm just hoping this is not very bad. That's Dynasty Warriors Origins. Next after that, Lorne Vale is a weird looking game. You start off naked in the apocalypse, and it looks like a twin stick shooter, but it's also a survival sandbox RPG. So it feels like you have this twin stick shooter action type, but in between that point of the action, you have a RPG where you're searching the desert for story or whatever. They say it's a systems driven game. I don't know exactly what that means, but what is cool is procedurally generated events. So I think because you have these very low level graphics, 8-bit graphics, 16-bit graphics, you can get away with doing crazy shit
mechanically.
Yeah, so hopefully, I mean, procedurally generated anything always comes with a little bit of caution, you know, like you never know what you're gonna get. If it delivers awesome stuff, it could be something really cool.
The combat looks super fun. I'm just watching the trailer, and he's like grappling people, throwing them around. All the like lots of unique enemies that are popping out of the desert and eating you. He's like trying to do a bounty where he's tracking down this guy with like a samurai helmet, and he's like guarded by these people that you have to say, yeah, it looks cool.
It seems like a twin stick shooter roguelike that also happens to be an RPG, which I've, you know, usually these roguelikes are kind of like, they don't have a lot of story. It's just kind of thrown in there, but this is a story. Right. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Tenjitsu is right up my alley. Again, twin stick shooter roguelike. That's my jam. And it's Devolver Digital, also my jam. And it's by the lead Dead Cells designer, also my jam. Like, this is...
This is you right in the target market, dude.
Yeah, it's already bought. This is not even on a shelf anywhere. Like, it's literally being designed right now, and it's already bought. It doesn't know it, but it's already bought.
Yeah.
And it's already in my Steam library. Unfortunately, it does not have the cozy tag. Yeah, no. It got death and destruction tag. Yeah. So okay. Anyway, yeah, looks awesome. It looks like every time you level up, you have the three options, very much like Dead Cells. Like, you can go into... defense, offense, or speed. It looks like very similar, except for it's not, it's a top down instead of 2D. Anyway, awesome. Can't wait.
I think Death and Destruction can be cozy if you have the right vibe.
It can be.
It can be.
Yeah.
What's the right vibe?
I'll tell you what it is. It's Doom the Dark Ages, dude.
Famous cozy game, dude.
Yeah. It's, I think this is the perfect move. We talked about it when Bobby brought this up. Where else could Doom go? Like, we've been on Mars. We've been in the future for so long. I love that it's like the first person shooter ever. And it's still at the top of the PC gaming like realm. Like, how is that possible? You know, that would be like Pong being a top tier game right now. You know what I mean? It's crazy. Anyway, so yeah, you're the Doom guy, medieval times. You do have a shotgun, but it looks like that's the only gun you have. Your shield is a weapon that you can throw and it returns to you. You could also like pull things to you with it. My voice did something weird there. And what else did I see? I saw a few other weapons. I think like a melee hammer or something like that. Oh yeah, there's this thing that grinds up skulls. You can see in one of the screenshots, you like put a skull in it and then it grinds up the skull and shoots the bits like all crazy at things. It's awesome.
It's so excessive.
It's so cozy.
It's so cozy. It's cozy. So cozy. Yeah. We were on the exact same. Yeah, cool.
I don't know about that.
Okay. Yeah. So is this an order of like your most anticipated?
Yeah,
Doom,
I think so.
Down to Behemoth. Okay, cool.
I think so. Yeah.
Nice. I'm excited for you to play Doom, dude. You know, I'm excited to see the light in your eyes. You know, Senua's Sega Hellblade 2 is fine, but whenever you talk about it, I think it just is a little depressing for you. You know,
no, it is. It is. It's, I don't know what to think. I still don't know. Look, I get stumped every time. I can't talk about it.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to play Guess That Sound, which, you know, we've been guessing the sound for a couple weeks now. There's $25 in the pot, and you out there listening can win it. All you have to do is send a guess into pixelshitshow@gmail.com and correctly guess the specific sound. And this is the sound that you're guessing. Okay, you know, before you send in your guess, the current hints are a game that Nick really enjoys, Cold, and Strategy. Okay? Every week I'm going to choose an answer, and every week someone gets it wrong, $5 goes into the pot. This week, Warconia sent in a guess. He says, the Skaven from Total War Warhammer, and because he's a patron, he gets two guesses. So his second guess is Orcs from Warhammer 40K Space Marine, and then he says, awesome game. That's not... I wouldn't put that in your guess, dude. If I disagree with that, you know, that could throw the whole thing. Amelia, what do you think about Warconius's guesses?
I think the game might be right on the first one, but those do not sound like Skaven to me. Skaven are rat creatures, so they sound like, you know, kind of thing.
Right. Rat, by the way. Yeah.
Thanks, man. I've been working on my on-the-spot rat my whole life, dude.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. So that's my two cents.
Interesting. Okay. Warconius, thank you for sending in your guess. You know, maybe you're onto something, maybe you're not, but the guess was not correct. So that means $5 more is added to the pot. Next week, we'll be playing for $30. And Bobby, Emilio, and I guess Rianne always get an opportunity to help you by unlocking a hint. And I was racking my head for a game we could play with Rianne on the show because Bobby and Nick are gone and Emilio barely made it. And I'm thinking, Emilio, we take maybe a minute of time and do some head-to-head poetry. Nothing long, but you're going to write down your best on-the-spot poem. I'll write down mine, and then Rianne will judge it. And if she picks yours, the mystery hint is unlocked. And if she picks mine, the mystery hint is not unlocked.
Are we going to pause the podcast? Or
No pause. I think during this time, you know, I might have snuck a little poem in the back there, so maybe I'm a little bit of an advantage. But while you write your poem and are on the spot, I think me and Rianne will just talk about our first date, which is what the people really want to hear. Okay? Okay?
All right.
So we went to a comedy show that had a lot of dark humor, and I remember you laughing at it.
Yeah.
And I was unsure. I was like, oh shit, is this going to be funny for more than just me? And luckily, like, everyone in the audience was laughing. So I was like, okay, I'm among the right audience. And I looked at you and you were also laughing.
Yeah.
Is that how you saw that moment?
I don't remember any of the jokes that were told.
Okay.
Couldn't tell you if they were dark humor or not. I do remember it being a little awkward. And I don't know if it was because it was our first date or right. I don't think that was it so much as it was like, they had multiple performers at this comedy show and, you know, different levels. And some people were just not as funny. But then I feel like that's when I have to laugh because, like, I want to support them.
You felt under pressure.
But I do think it was funny.
Yeah.
But I don't remember any of the jokes. It was so long ago.
Okay.
I do remember the sushi we got before.
Right.
And I remember the car ride home.
The car ride home. We talked about all the drugs we did.
Yeah.
And that's all I remember. Was there anything else?
That's what I remember right. as
and
well.
And then famously, not so famously, when, you know, I kind of leaned in for the kiss, but you were leaning in for a hug.
I was.
And I didn't really understand that. And so it was like a half kiss, half hug.
Yeah.
Which
it was pretty awkward.
Yeah, it was kind of awkward. Yeah. And then you broke up with me. Or you said you didn't want to see me again. We weren't really dating, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, at Taco Bell. You bought me Taco Bell and then said, you know, to let me down easy.
Yeah, well, you were trying to plan a second date for so long.
Yeah.
Well, not so long. Well,
years. No.
No. Just for a little while. And I did want to go on a second date. And I don't know, maybe for a multitude of reasons or no reason at all.
Oh, sure. We can never know.
I felt a little unsure about going on a second date with you.
Yeah.
And so we hung out at my sister's apartment quite often for game nights. And so I said, let's just go to Taco Bell before the game night. And I think you thought we were going to plan our next date, or maybe you thought that was our next date.
Well, I had never gone to Taco Bell, so I was pretty excited.
I was in a big Taco Bell phase.
Yeah.
I got you tacos, which was a big mistake because you really like tacos. And I didn't know that at the time. And I mean, Taco Bell isn't like quality taco, but yeah, it's like the McDonald's of tacos. And sometimes that's what you want.
Yeah.
But not you. You don't like it. Anyways.
Well, I didn't like being broken up with at Taco Bell either. And then I had like these shitty, like just the whole thing was kind of not my best day, I would say.
It was sad. Actually, it was very sad because I thought he was just going to be fine with it. And he was just going to be like, okay, I'll come play board games with you now. And then he didn't. And then I was sad.
Okay, Emilio, is your poem ready?
Yeah, but you go first.
Okay, I'll go first. So I just wrote down a little something. You know, I don't really know what Rianne likes, so I'll just... Rianne, if you could just turn around and just hear both our poems, okay. If that's possible. Okay, so, Rianne.
Uh-huh.
Your eyes sparkle with the possibilities of our future. Your laugh warms my core when the world is cold. Every year with you is like a new beginning. Every moment patches the patchwork of my soul. Bananas.
Nice. That was nice.
Okay.
That was nice. I didn't know it was a love letter.
That was purely me trying to win, but you go. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wrote the exact same thing somehow, dude. There is a cosmic event, and it's for you. No. Skulls, ghouls, and ghosts. Diagnosis, hell. Pellets, gunpowder, two barrels, the cure. Rended flesh, melting faces, always and forever cozy.
Well, I love good. That, actually.
That was good. Okay.
Those
yeah,
are true. Good on the spot. Well, yours wasn't so much on the spot, Christian. True. Which
he worked on that for a week. A week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Negative, negative points.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked your words, Christian, but I am going to go with Emilio because that was really good on the spot. I felt like there was a good flow to it, and it's relevant.
To the podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. Sweet. Well, congrats.
Thank you.
We've unlocked a new mystery hint, and we've learned that Emilio is kind of a little bit of a poet. If he didn't use... Did you use it?
Oh, no. ChatGPT? No. We're not talking right now.
Okay. Just making sure. Okay.
Oh, so, by the way, one of our listeners messaged me. He's like, I heard you broke up with your girlfriend. I'm sorry. I hope... Are you okay? Do you need to talk? And I was like, no, dude, that was a bit. It was my AI girlfriend. He's like, oh, shit. Sorry.
Well, I listened back to the episode, and we never really specify that. It was the episode before that gives the context to the future episode. You start off your bit by me and my girlfriend are broken up. Then you go all into it. And then at the very end, you say AI is shit or whatever. So maybe people are out there being like, oh, Emilio, he's so sad. Cool. So the hint is Vikings. Hopefully that helps.
That's a big hint.
A game that Nick really enjoys, cold strategy and Vikings. So do with that what you will. $30 for next week. Cool. Amelia, we have a couple listener questions. You want to read them out?
No, because I just closed my page for some reason. I do want to bring up a late ping here. To all the fathers, happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. Yeah.
I just got delivered a drink because it's Father's Day. Somebody brought me one. That was really nice. Mila is current at the 12-year-old is currently out there learning one of my favorite songs on the piano as my gift. I thought that was really nice. I can hear it through the walls. And she's getting better. She's like, she's almost got it.
Yeah.
Luna gave me a dad award that her teacher helped her write, and it's super cute and made me melt when I read it. So that's the reason we do the things we do. It was very nice.
That's great.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot of downsides for having kids, but the upsides are I felt like I had already done all the single life stuff that you could do. And then it was just time to do new stuff. And those new things happen to be adult stuff with a lot of responsibilities, but it has its rewards as well.
Yeah. Wonderful. Glad you're having a great Father's Day. You know, I don't have kids yet, but we're still celebrating over here because one's coming. So we got something planned later.
Yeah.
Had a nice breakfast. Cool. So listener questions. I guess if you closed it.
No, I have it. I've got it. Tagloro asks, is it possible to get a bit more advanced notice before going live? Did we do that today, Christian?
No, we did. Okay. We did it because we got the time. Well, not last minute, but last night. And then I misunderstood the time. So I was ready to go like 2 hours before.
Yeah.
He called me. Was still in bed.
He's like, hey, like he didn't want to be pushy. He's like, so how's it going? And I'm like,
yeah,
fine, how's it going for you? And he's like I'm ready.
You were nice about it, dude. You were like, do you want to go a little bit earlier, like, is that what you're calling? And I go, no, the time is what I said. You're like, no, actually it's 2 hours before the time you said. And I was like, oh, I'm the one who has fucked something up here.
So here's an idea, Christian. Maybe we, once we lock in a time that's usually 2 or 1 day before, maybe we give the time then, like, hey, we're shooting for this, you know, that would be one. And then we stick to like maybe half an hour before as well.
Yeah. Yeah. We can do it. I'll just add that to the list of things I'm doing, and I'm sure I'll, It'll be fine. All right.
Which part of your over 40 body hurts the most? My elbows are, I'm starting to get arthritis, and my elbows are starting to give. Maybe it's all the arm wrestling. I don't know. Yeah, it's arthritis. Arthritis sucks. And I think it's early onset, but it is what it is. I use the hell out of my body.
That sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Rianne, anything over you in your over 40-year-old body?
I'm not over 40, but I am carrying a child, so I'm a little sore. nothing crazy yet. I'm not, like, huge, but I'm feeling my ligaments. They're stretching. My body's widening, and I feel it.
The last month is insane, guys. It's insane.
I've heard.
Yeah, you're gonna double in size in the last 30 days, and it is insane. There is creams and stuff, I think, for like to help with the stretch marks, because you're gonna expand so quick, and I think they kind of work. So that's a recommendation. And just that last month, dude, just fucking be there for her. Be ready to rub feet and whatnot.
I'm saving my sick hours, so looking forward to not working.
Yeah, get out of there. I'm not over 40. Nothing hurts on my body. I'm in peak physical condition and health. My mental aptitude is just great. Nothing wrong. And yeah, that's my check-in, my yearly doctor's check-in with our community.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Speaking for Rianne, Christian, Bobby's not here, and Nick's not here, and myself. Oh, fuck, I don't have one thought of. Let's go with... Elba's wildlife titties. That's bad. That's a kid. No, we can't do that. We gotta go with scavenger rain. I don't know. It's a mess. It's tits. It's tits, guys. There we go.
Okay. Smooth. Goodbye.
It was the first thing I read. I don't know. I went the wrong. Behemoth titties. That would have been a good one.